Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant-at-Arms will bring in the absent members. Today's chaplains are the pastors Donna Buell and Marty Raths, husband and wife, from Northfield United Methodist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. Following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Our gracious God, as a state, you have blessed us in so many ways, and we have so much to be thankful for as Minnesotans. For an abundance of natural resources, for a responsive government, and for a rich legacy of civic commitment and accomplishment, we give you thanks.
We pray that you would bless those who hold office in our state. Grant them wisdom and courage to make sound judgments and work through their deliberations and decisions that they may do their work in a cooperative and discerning spirit and with diligence and determination.
Help them to use the power and authority that has been entrusted to them for the betterment of our state, and in all their efforts, help them to act on principle, to be respectful of their differences, to find common ground whenever possible, and above all, to seek to promote the general welfare of our state and the common good of all of our people.
This day our hearts are especially heavy following the events of last week in Boston and in West Texas and in other parts of our world. In times like these, what touches some of us touches all of us. Be with those most affected by these events and be with all your children. Fill our hearts, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world with compassion, grace, and resilience of spirit. Amen.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Champion, Clausen, Cohen, Dahl, Dames, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Eakin, Fishbach, Franzen, Gazelka, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Herr, Hayden, Hoffman, Housley, Ingebrigtsen, Jensen, Johnson, Kent, Kiffmeyer, Kunin, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Marty, Metzen, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Ortman, Osmick, Pappas, Peterson J., Peterson B., Pratt, Reinert, Rest, Rosen, Rude, Saxog, Scalzi, Schmidt, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Weber, Westrom, Uyghur, and Wickland.
A quorum is present. We move first to the third order of business, messages from the House. The secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file number 1589, a bill for an act relating to the operation of state government finance, allowing the Secretary of State authority to accept funds from local government units for election systems, enhancements, and to receive certain funds for the address confidentiality program, etc. Senate file number 1589 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam President, and I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file number 1589 and that a conference committee of five members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act like a conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Secretary will read the second message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of 5 members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House to the following Senate file. Senate file number 671, a bill for an act relating to public safety. There has been appointed as such committee on the part of the House Paymar, Hillstrom, Lesh, Melling, and Cornish. Senate file number 671 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
We move then to the fifth order of business, reports of committees. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The bill printed on the agenda will be given its second reading. The ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. The motion printed on the agenda, the resolution printed on the agenda will be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that House File 1160 be taken from the table and given its second reading.
All those in favor of that motion say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. House File 1160 will be given its second reading. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move that House File 1160 be laid on the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. This is where I will make my motion. Madam President.
Senator Pappas.
I move that Senate File 1294, number 85 on general orders, be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Finance.
Senator Pappas, you want to explain?
This is my bill, and we found out that this bill has some fiscal implications, so want it returned to Finance.
On the motion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, I'd like to move a recess of the Senate. The Majority Caucus will caucus in room 107, and I expect we'll come back about 1:30.
Senator Hamm.
If I had heard the Majority Leader, he said they were caucusing in 107, so I believe we'll be in 112, if it's open. So our caucus will be meeting in 112.
On the Bach motion, all those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, no. Senate is in recess.
Madam President, I impose a call to the Senate.
The Senate is under call.
Madam President, I move further proceedings on the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant at Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all those in favor say aye. All opposed, nay. The motion prevails. The Sergeant of Arms is instructed to bring in the absent members. Senator Bach.
Madam President, is there a privileged report at the desk?
The Secretary will read the report.
Senator Bach from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File Number 1589. Senators Saxhog, Cohen, Eaton, Champion, and Franzen. Senator Bach moved that the foregoing appointments be approved.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bills be made special orders for immediate consideration. Members, the list of bills is on your desk.
Senator Bach, would you take the first one from the table?
Madam President, I move that House File 1160. No, it's not 1160.
976.
House File 976 be taken from the table.
All those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Senator Bach, would you just repeat your special order designation for that one House file?
Madam President, House File 976 is being brought up as a special order, along with the list on your desk.
The first bill on special orders is House File 976, Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, I have an A1 amendment for House File 976.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend House File number 976 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and insert. And this is the A1 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni on the A1.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, this is deleting everything from House File 976 and putting in this closed landfill investment fund clause. It's obsolete language that we're deleting. And the intent here is to have a vehicle for the other half of my economic development, environment, and ag bill.
Any discussion on the A1 amendment? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, if Senator would yield.
Senator Tomasoni, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Tomasoni, I see this is a delete everything amendment on the floor of the Senate. How does that change? How is the change that you're offering right now differ from the bill that should have been, that you're trying to amend?
Senator Tomasoni.
You, Madam President, and Senator Limmer, what you see is what you get.
Madam
Senator
President,
Limmer.
Madam President, I see what we're going to get all right, but I was wondering if you could tell me what we might have had in the original bill. So could you explain the difference between the original bill that is known as House File 976 compared with what you're offering now?
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, do you have 4 hours?
Well, Madam President, that's what we're here for, Senator Tomasoni.
Okay,
I would like to know what we're doing here by having a delete everything on the Senate floor. That's kind of unusual.
Senator
Tomasoni, would you repeat your explanation?
Madam President, Senator Limmer, I will repeat my explanation. We are deleting the language in the Omnibus Environment, Natural Resources, and Agricultural Finance Policy Bill from the House and inserting the language you have in front of you in order for us to have a vehicle that we can use in order to divide up the bill that you passed out of here on Friday so that we can go to conference committee.
Is there any more questions on the A1 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A1 amendment say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. House File 976, is there any more discussion? Seeing no discussion, the Secretary will give House File 976 its third reading.
House File number 976, a bill for an act relating to state government, appropriating money for environment, natural resources, and agriculture.
The Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 38 in favor, 27 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 31 on general orders, Senate file 658. Senator Dietzick.
Thank you, Madam President. Good afternoon. Before you, members, is Senate file 658. This is a bill from the Department of Labor and Industry. It deals with a misrepresentation of the employment relationship. According to a 2007 legislative auditor report, misrepresentation or misclassification occurs in the construction, healthcare, retail, and manufacturing industries. The report estimated that 14% of Minnesota employers misclassify at least one worker as an independent contractor. Misclassifying employees negatively affects the large majority of employers who properly classify workers. It also impacts state tax revenues. The 2007 report recommended several changes to state law, and this bill addresses one of the recommended changes. This bill gives DOLLI, the Department of Labor and Industry, the authority to issue compliance orders to send a notice to companies when they misclassify workers, asking them to remedy the situation. I'd like to thank my co-authors, Senator Peterson and Senator Nelson. Thank you, Madam President and members, for your consideration of this bill, and I ask for your support and stand for questions.
Are there any questions? Are there any amendments? Seeing none, the secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate file number 658, a bill for an act relating to labor and industry, allowing the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to issue compliance orders for violations of misrepresentations of employment relationships.
The secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 43 in favor, 23 against, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 9 on general orders, Senate file 369, Senator Franzen. That's House File 369.
Thank you, Madam President. House File 369 focuses on ensuring personal property rights are maintained when a married couple moves from a community property state to Minnesota. This legislation codifies common law and provides law practitioners a roadmap for dealing with community property in cases involving surviving spouse rights. Minnesota is a common state law. This means that for property to be joined jointly, both names need to appear on the title. For example, if a married couple owns a car, but the wife's name is on the title, legally she is the owner of that car. Other states, including our neighbor to the east, Wisconsin, are community property states. And this means that each individual in the marriage is presumed to have 50% ownership of the property. Drawing from the previous example, this means if a married woman owns the car and only her name is on the title, both her and her husband are assumed to have 50% ownership of the car. This bill will say that when a person moves to Minnesota from a community property state like Wisconsin, their property held in the community property state will remain jointly held. This bill ensures that people aren't deprived of their rights to their property when they move to Minnesota from a community property state. Providing clarity in law is getting more and more important every year as our society becomes more mobile. There are currently 10 states that are community property states, and 14 states have adopted similar legislation to this to address what has become a common occurrence. Wisconsin, for example, changed to community property in the late 1980s, and since we are adjacent states, it's becoming more and more relevant for law practitioners to have a statute, guidance and statute to address this issue. This is Minnesota's proactive approach to ensure that we do not deprive of surviving spouses' rights. The Minnesota State Bar Association sections on probate and trust and real estate vetted the legislation modeled under the Uniform Act for 3 years and approved it in 2010. Members, I ask you for your support to provide clarity in the law and to protect a surviving spouse's property rights. I stand for questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions? Are there any questions? Seeing none, the Secretary will give the House File 369 its third reading.
House File Number 369, a bill for an act relating to community property, adopting the Uniform Community Property Rights at Death Act.
The Secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 65 in favor and 1 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 29 on general orders, Senate File 825, Senator Wicklin.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 825 makes modifications to the Medical Practice Act. This bill was brought forward by the Department of Health, and it contains recommended changes that were developed by the Medical Practice Act Work Group. The Medical Practice Act Work Group was created by the 2012 legislature, and the group's task was to ensure that the Medical Practice Act effectively protects the safety and well-being of the citizens of the state and allows for transparency. It was a 15-member group. It contained physicians, academia, consumers, medical practice experts, and policymakers. Of the recommendations made by the work group, several of them were intended to be housekeeping changes to the Medical Practice Act, and I will describe those in brief. Section 1 clarifies language so that Chapter 147 in Minnesota statute may be cited as the Minnesota Medical Practice Act, and that designates the language following as the purpose. Section 2 clarifies Board of Medical Practice membership such that there is more flexibility in filling vacancies. Today, only one member can be a doctor of osteopathy. The new language sets a minimum of one, but allows for more members from that practice. Section 3 adds the appropriate board to provide testing towards licensure for osteopathic physicians, which is the National Board of Osteopathic.
Just a minute, Senator Wicklund. It's very difficult to hear, even for me. Okay. So if members could please keep your conversations softer or off the floor. And Senator Wicklund, would you hold your mic closer to your mouth?
Do that. Thank you, Madam President.
Please continue.
Section 3, as I mentioned, it adds appropriate board designation to provide testing towards licensure for osteopathic physicians. It also adds language to address the osteopathic physician's medical licensing exam, which is the COMLEX. Also in Section 3 is clarifying language that will allow for the Board of Medical Practice to satisfy requirements to ensure that an applicant is who they say they are by the use of technology. Changes the wording from shall to may to accommodate cases where the face-to-face requirement would be prohibitively difficult. Section 4 adds language to clarify the purpose of the Health Professional Services Program, as well as who may participate in that program. And Section 5 adds language to clarify and provide awareness of legislative delegation over listed allied health professions. These are not changes. These are currently in law, but it is just making clear that the Medical Practice Board has oversight over these professions. So these changes, as the work group report states, they provide further clarification and they will aid the general public in navigating the Medical Practices Act. And I encourage your support for this bill. Thank you.
Is there any discussion? Senator Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I just want to offer my support for this bill, but also just make a comment about a disappointment, and that is that it was the Sunset Commission that I served on that made these recommendations, and yet now we are in the process of repealing that very commission that did some of this good work. And secondly, just a pause, you know, that we are allowing the two physicians, I believe it is, to be on this, and yet on this board that they represent, and yet the Minnesota Exchange that we passed forbids people from that field to be on the board. To me, it's a contradiction. I'm disappointed, but this particular bill, I think, is heading the right direction.
Is there any more discussion? Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Wicklund yield?
Senator Wicklund will yield. Senator Brown.
Thank you. Senator Wicklund, I had expressed to a few of my colleagues that my family practice doctor was actually a doctor of osteopathy. I was just wondering if you could explain to the body the difference between doctor of osteopathy versus a medical doctor.
Senator Wicklund.
Madam President, Senator Brown, you know, I did some background research. I did some reading for myself on what sets a doctor of osteopathy apart from other medical professions, but I do not think I'm qualified to make a good general presentation of it, not being a medical professional myself. But I can find out and I can research that if you do wish to have further discussion. This particular change in the bill came about because there are times when it's difficult to fill vacancies on the Board of Medical Practice, and it was felt that having the limitation of only one from this particular field was causing problems when there were more vacancies and additional applicants who were in the field of osteopathy.
Any more discussion? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Would the author yield for a question?
Senator Wicklund will yield. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Wicklund, I understand that on this board that a doctor of osteopathy can serve on the board. Is that correct?
Senator Wicklund.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, yes, that's correct.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. I find it somewhat unusual because just Saturday, you may recall that we had a discussion about guardian ad litem board where I presented an amendment that requested that a currently licensed guardian would serve on the guardian ad litem board, only to be chastised a little bit that that would cause a conflict of interest, that if a current licensed professional would serve on the very board that would give them direction and advice professionally. So, Senator Wicklund, how do you justify having a doctor of osteopathy on this board when the Senate made a very clear distinction on Saturday that they claimed, or certainly agreed with Senator Latz's argument, that this was a conflict of interest?
Senator Wicklund.
Madam President, Senator Limmer, I will go back to the terms of the Board of Medical Practice. It consists of 16 residents of the state of Minnesota. 10 of the board members must hold a degree of Doctor of Medicine and be licensed to practice medicine under this chapter. The current law says that not less than one board member must hold a degree of osteopathy, and this change would be permissive to allow more than that. I guess that I would say that the Minnesota Medical Practices Act, the jurisdiction of the Board of Medical Practice is to oversee doctors and their practice and to make recommendations about conduct, about improper management of medical records, all of those things that have to do directly with doctors and their and patients. The remainder of the board is also contains members of the public. The governor will also make appointments to the board that reflect geography of the state. So it contains reflects the geographic diversity of the state as well as the medical practice in the state. I believe that that reflects on the need of the medical practice board to oversee the profession.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Wicklund, I understand that you're dealing with a bill that has already defined the board membership, and it has doctors that are recommended to be on that board. But members, if we're going to make any consistency, we should probably think carefully on these boards of what board member has a conflict of interest and what one does not. Otherwise, either we have continuity and stability in public policy or we do not. If we consider one profession as a board member on some board as a conflict of interest and others as not, we have a conflict. And so as we deal with these types of bills in the future, I hope, quite honestly, I hope we can make up our mind of what's conflict of interest or not simply by a board membership. That's all a point I need to make, Madam President.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Will Senator Wicklund yield?
Senator Wicklund will yield. Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Wicklund, I draw your attention to line 2.4 and 2.5 and 6, where it talks about where the current law says that board members holding the degree of Doctor of Medicine must as a whole reflect the broad mix of expertise of physicians practicing in Minnesota. And my question is just, I realize there was no opposition to this bill, but I do question, you know, how many physicians are under a license under this board, and how many of them, what's the ratio between osteopaths and MDs?
Senator Wicklund.
Madam President, Senator Nelson, I do not have in my information that before me the ratio of doctors and specialties currently on the board and how the current state makeup is of physicians. I don't have that information in front of me. I have information about the Practices Act and not so much the composition of doctors versus the state. I would assume that it would change over time, and as people are not allowed to serve on the board, you know, forever, so there would be turnover and there would be different specialties reflected and different makeup as time goes on.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Wicklund, I think that is enough of an answer. I think just to point out that we maintain that broad mix, so the board actually represents is a representative mix of those who are governed by that board.
Any other comments? Seeing none, the secretary will give Senate File 825 its third reading.
Senate File Number 825, a bill for an act relating to health, making changes to the Medical Practice Act.
The secretary will take the roll. All members having voted, all members having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 58 in favor, 6 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 4 on general orders, Senate File 345, Senator Goodwin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 345 is a bill that increases criminal victims' rights by, first of all, allowing if a crime victim dies before they get restitution, before they're able to put in an order for restitution or have the order enforced for restitution. Currently, it's unlikely that a judge will be able to do that because that's not covered under current state law. So what this bill will do will say that if a crime victim dies before they get restitution or before they put in an order for restitution, that that order can be put in by the power of attorney. If there's no power of attorney, it can be put in by the heir of the estate. So that's basically all it does. It was not controversial at all in committee, and please support this bill. It's good for victims' rights.
Is there any discussion? Senator Hall.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Goodwin, here is another victim rights bill. And I just believe that all members should vote green on this. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will give Senate File 345 its third reading.
Senate File Number 345, a bill for an act relating to crime victims, authorizing a victim's estate to request or enforce an order for restitution.
The secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 64 in favor, 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on special orders is number 91 on general orders, Senate File 1291, Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, thank you. Senate File 1291, members, is a technical and policy change for mine inspectors, and it clarifies some provisions. The provision that's currently in law is there from about 1907, and it just needs some updating. It's non-controversial. Everybody that is involved with this is in agreement, and I'd appreciate your support.
Are there any questions on Senate File 1291? Seeing none, the secretary will give Senate File 1291 its third reading.
Senate File Number 1291, a bill for an act relating to mines, making technical, clarifying, and other policy changes to mine inspector provisions.
Is there any discussion? Senator Ortman? No. Any discussion? Secretary will take the roll. All senators, have all senators voted? All senators having voted, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 in favor and 0 opposed, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Sieben.
Madam President, I'd like to move a recess. We're waiting for the House to send over the health bill, which needs to have its first reading here today. So if members can just watch their emails for further notice.
Senator Hahn.
Madam President, just a question. Do we know about what length of recess we are going to be taking?
Senator Sieben.
Madam President, Senator Hahn, like I said, we're waiting for the House to finish the health bill, the omnibus bill. And so if members just watch their email, Senator Bach's office will send out an email as soon as we know more information about when the recess will conclude.
Senator Hahn, the desk just informed me that they're on number the First Amendment of over 80.
And Madam President,
Senator Hahn.
Is it the intention that we would take up the message this afternoon? Is that the intention?
Take up the message and give it its first reading and lay it on the table.
And we would do that sometime today. So, Madam President, are we going to need the full body to come back for that? Or
Senator Sieben.
Madam President, Senator Hahn, we don't anticipate that, no.
And Madam President,
Senator Hahn.
The reason I'm asking is I know that there are notices of weather coming in, and if the intention is for us to be in session, that's fine, but if the intent is just to process things, I don't want to keep people here unnecessarily, and that's my concern. So if we just could have some clarity on the part of the majority of what the intent is, so people who may have some distance or want to go somewhere that they wouldn't.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, the intent when we come back would be just to receive the message from the House on the HHS bill. Then tomorrow it can have the lie-over and we'd be able to take it up on Wednesday, but we would intend to only receive the message from the House.
Senator Hand.
Thank you. So we would only need to have, I'd hate to use the words, but the skeleton crew coming back to take the message. Is that correct?
Senator Bach.
Madam President, Senator Hand, that's how it was characterized in recent years. We're still looking for a word in lieu of that. If anybody has one in mind, please share it with my office. But that would be the intent.
And,
Senator Hand.
And Madam President, before we recess, if I might make an announcement of Senate interest, just taking advantage of the fact that everybody's here. I did ask the pages to distribute a letter, and I just wanted to make a comment on that before we recessed, if that's permissible.
State your comment.
And members, I asked the pages to distribute a letter. You should have it on your desk from Rich Sherber of Teen Challenge. We had a debate the other day on the floor about an amendment that Senator Rosen offered that was regarding some funding for a program. And Rich Sherber sent me a letter in response to the debate. He had seen the tape of the debate, and it is in response to some of the things that were raised on the floor in an attempt to try to correct some of the statements or some of the ideas that some members may have had about Teen Challenge. And I would just urge members to take a look at this and read it. I know we're not quite done with the session, and there are some of us who still have an interest in trying to find ways to help Teen Challenge with their work. I think this would clarify some of the questions that were raised in the course of that discussion. And so I would just urge members, when they get a moment, to read through this letter, if you would. And if you have any questions, certainly feel free to contact me or to contact Rich Sherber directly, and I'm sure he'd be happy to answer. But thank you.
Senator Bachmore, we have a motion before us to recess. Okay. Then on the motion by Senator Sieben to recess, before we do that, Senator Thomasoni.
Madam President, I just announced that the Environment, Economic Development, and Ag Division will meet in room 112 in 15 minutes.
Are there any other announcements? Senator Sieben.
Madam President, the Subcommittee on Elections will not be meeting today. We are hoping that we will be able to meet tomorrow after session, and we'll send out notice. But the Subcommittee on Elections is not meeting immediately after session today.
Are there any other announcements? Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. The Transportation Finance Division will meet as scheduled 3 o'clock, room 15. Sorry, I've a little bit of a frog in my throat. Transportation Finance Division will meet as scheduled 3 o'clock in room 15.
Any more announcements? Then on the motion to recess all those in favor say aye. Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate is in recess. To order. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Senator Latz all day, Senator Stump 2 to 210, Senator Brandon Peterson 220 to 230, Senator Bach 225 to 235. Are there any other announcements? Senator Bach.
Madam President, I move the Senate do now adjourn until Tuesday, April 23rd, 11 a.m.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The Senate stands adjourned.